Hare Krishna. This morning I gave class, and it was one of our classes that was the follow-up to our development of our social structuring. Trying to implement both Varnashram as well as clarifying here in Hungary the rights and obligations of different classes of devotees, namely full-time devotees, who we call missionaries, volunteer devotees who just first come and don't take vow of lifelong service to the mission, then donors, supporters, devotees who are members who support the society by their wealth, their time, their energy, their intelligence, and so on. And today's class was on what's called magantulaidon, or private property, because one of the issues that comes up is, well, what happens with if I become a missionary and if I give my inheritance or with the money that I've donated, then the house that I have in New Vajradam is property of Radhe Shyam, and what type of guarantees do I have for the security for the future for both myself and my family? And then for devotees who aren't full-time devotees, who aren't missionaries, who are rather supporters, how are they meant to relate to their own house, car, savings, and so on, in terms of Krishna consciousness? So, of course, it doesn't take much of a study of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, where we understand that the attachment to this material world and the obstacles to our advancing in Krishna consciousness also include our attachment to our own possessions. Punksastriya maitani bhava meta taromito riddaya gantya tu ato griha kshetra utapta vrata janasya mohoyam. My house, my land, my possessions, my car, my wife, my husband, etc. All these things, cars, riddaya gantya, who a knot in the heart, and that strong knot in the heart is a serious obstacle for anyone who wants to advance in spiritual life, because riddhanta ridaya gramtis chidanta atasamshaya. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about severing the knot in the heart. So we went to sever the knot in the heart in order to make full advancement and benefit from our spiritual life. And of course, this sense of possessiveness is there. It's called sense of possessiveness. Nimamma moha jita sanga dosha. Nothing is mine. This type of mentality is what's required if one actually wants to retrieve the transcendental platform. And Krishna says, Bhuktaram yagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suvidam sarvabhutanam. He says, I'm the possessor. The idea that I own something, or that something is mine, is illusion. Everything belongs to Krishna. We come into this material world with nothing, we leave with nothing. The fact that in the interim period we think that we are actually the proprietors of something is a real misconception. It's illusion. So how does it become free from that illusion? Well, that's why we practice Krishna consciousness. That's how we chant Hare Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna with the idea of purifying our hearts from many such bad habits that we've inherited from previous lives or cultivated in this life. Interesting phenomena is, and I'm sure everyone's seen with little children, is that this concept of "it's mine" is inherent, it's inborn in children. You take a 2-year-old child and you put something in his hand, or he's playing with something and you try and take away with him, and immediately he's going to start crying and saying, "It's mine, it's mine, it's mine." And where did he get this idea that it's mine? It's never worked in his life. He's never really acquired anything. He's never purchased anything. But still, that sense of aham and mama is there. I'm this body and this is mine. These are the things that we want to become free of, because one of the drawbacks of this sense of possessiveness is that it reinforces the bodily conception of life, because possessions are some things that are related to the body. So of course, chanting Hare Krishna helps us free that, but also circumstances or a lifestyle that's conducive for being freed from this sense of possessiveness is a brahminical lifestyle. And so traditionally in Vaishnavism, as well as in other religions, vows of poverty are there. A Brahmin may get a kingdom today, and he already gives it away by the next day, because he's not meant to keep anything. He doesn't hold on to anything. So part of a sadhana, or part of a lifestyle, is to live in poverty, or at least live with the basic necessities of life, and certainly live without this idea that things are mine. Now, of course, we run into, certainly in preaching, I run into often into people who, I'm sure many devotees who are listening have that same experience. I go to someone's home, some wealthy man who tells me, "Everything that I have belongs to Krishna. My business is Krishna's. My house is Krishna's. I'm a poor man. I'm a pauper. I have nothing. Everything is Krishna's." And then when you say, "Okay, can you give me a little donation for Krishna's service?" "Well, I can't do that right now. But when Krishna tells me in my heart, then I will certainly do so." So this is not the type of freedom from possessiveness that's required. This is just word jugglery. It doesn't work. It still means someone is very attached. But rather, the regular practice of tithing, which means tithing means you give 10%, or as Srila Prabhupada would say, giving 50%, or better yet, giving everything, including your whole life, to the service of Krishna, that is the type of practice that helps one free from the sense of possessiveness. Being freed from this sense of possessiveness. And of course, simply by renouncing, one doesn't become detached. Renunciation in itself is not alone. One has to engage in purificatory activities. So if the brahmachari thinks that, I don't know, the sanctan shoes that he wears are his, and is attached to them, then that's his maya. Or as Srila Prabhupada said, if the sannyasi thinks that his danda is his property and he's attached to that, then that's his illusion. Or if the guru thinks that his disciples and the opulence and other things that disciples bring are his, and makes a comfortable life for himself, then that's his fall down. But nonetheless, the general lifestyle or the general sadhana of living with the bare necessities of life, of giving to the mission, of being devoid of ownership, that is conducive for advancing in Krishna consciousness. And so it's something that devotees need to practice. There are, of course, the different categories of devotees. By categories, I mean categorized in terms of lifestyle. And then every circumstance is also individual. The different categories are those who have yet to make up their mind or decide whether they want to live without possessions and dedicate their whole life to Krishna consciousness. In other words, they're young, they're free to make that decision as yet. And then there are those devotees who are already in circumstances where they're already have obligations to the world around them. But in either case, everyone needs to, if they want to advance in spiritual life, really cultivate this sense of freedom, of possessiveness, give up any sense of mama, or mine. And so Srila Prabhupada gives us this formula that one should therefore engage 50% of one's wealth, or here in Hungary we've also translated that into time and energy and so on, for the service of the Lord. And if one does that, then the quality of one's activities is certainly equivalent to high grade of devotional service, and one is a ideal grihasta, an ideal donor. Of course, if you can't give 50%, then at least desire to do so and give what you can, give 20, 10, and so on. Or that may be how much time one's able to give. But nonetheless, without this type of mentality, it will be very difficult to overcome the Kripana concept, which is automatically there, which children, house, other types of domestic items just tend to increase within the heart of a conditioned soul. So we see the ideal example. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Rupa Goswami as the ideal person, as Ramananda Roy, as the ideal person who's equivalent to Rupa Goswami, because everything that he had, and he had a lot, he was a very wealthy person, what to speak of Yudhya Vistaya Maharaj, who had the world, entire world, everything that he had, he considered to be the property of the Lord. But it's not artificial. One has to come to that stage, and to come to that stage, then this idea of donor giving, as I've now already repeated before, to different degrees, either everything or half or something that really needs to be practiced for by devotees sincerely wishing to advance in Krishna consciousness. And that's why my suggestion has been to the GBC, as well as the Constitution Committee, that in establishing the membership of the Krishna Consciousness Movement in the way that other churches also do, we should establish a general membership and then a more higher level membership upon which members are encouraged to donate at least 10%, meant to tithe. Without that, I don't think that we're really doing justice to people. We're giving them a sense of thinking that they can just stay in any circumstance that they want and just chant Hare Krishna and donate if and as when they want, and they'll get the same result as if they make some kind of commitment, an obligatory commitment. Which also means that they have to incorporate that within the way that they manage their whole life and lifestyle. Anyway, these were some of our topics today, some of which are controversial, but then that's what Krishna consciousness is about. It's about giving up stereotypes and thus actually finding the most conducive and best lifestyle that will ensure our advancement to go back home, back to Godhead, where it's very clear that nothing belongs to me and everything belongs to Krishna. And of course, coming to the realization or the reality of that situation, that yes, here I am in this material world. I come with nothing, I leave with nothing, so why, in the interim period, should I think that something is actually mine? Hare Krishna.